Good Friday morning here in Murray, Kentucky. It is Friday, right, Neil?
Yeah, it is. It is.
This is the For Those Who Inquired podcast. I'm your host, Edward Marlowe. And man, this sounds great. We've got a great show ahead for you, and it's not going to be because of myself or Neil.
Yeah, this is a really great show today. I promise.
Yeah, we guarantee it. Or your money back guarantee. Now, nobody pays for this podcast.
Well, we'd give their money back if they did.
Yeah.
But since they don't, we don't have to.
Yeah. For Those Who Inquired podcast, and in studio with us, the great Terrence T-Money Miles. How are you, man?
I'm glad you added the T-Money, because no one would know who the hell Terrence Miles is.
No, not at all.
But T-Money.
T-Money, yes. How's it going, man?
I'm doing great. Excited to be here. You know, appreciate the invite. You know, first time doing a podcast.
First time?
Yeah, first time.
Wow.
Hey.
I am so sorry. Well, we're really going to set the bar super low.
A podcast virgin is what that's called, I guess. I mean, what else would you call it?
You
first time
even,
to do one.
That just makes me cough.
I know it does. It does sound bad, but that's exactly what it
that's
is.
That's exactly
first
right.
First time to do one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and that we can get this out of the way. For those who inquired, let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. It's time for the basketball tournament. We knew that we had a truncated version of this in 2020.
Hang on. Let me get the
truncated, thesaurus. Shortened, smaller. Looking for the thesaurus.
Thesaurus. That's oh, it. Shortened. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
We had a shortened basketball tournament in 2020, and we know that GM, Jeff Martin Jr., and a lot of guys associated with Murray State University men's basketball alumni were super, super interested over the last few years in building this team. Didn't come to fruition in 2020, and now here we are in 2021. And not only is there momentum, but there's a hell of a team, a hell of a roster, a couple of great ringers, and an associate head coach in studio with us in T-Money. Man, first and foremost, Coach, walk us through a little bit of this process. Neil and I have both had a chance to talk to Jeff Martin Jr. over the last few weeks about how everything came together from his end. But for you, as a guy that's going to be putting a lot of this coaching, you know, regimen together, what do you see in this roster, and how fun has it been to just lead up to this moment going into Peoria?
You know, like, our team is called the Overlooked, and, you know, when I see in this team, like, it's Overlooked guys, you know, even our seeding, like, being a sixth seed, I'm thinking back to 2012 when I talked to you guys before we got on the air.
You were a sixth seed in 2012.
Yeah, NCAA tournament. You know, when I was a manager, no way we should be, 31-1 and be a sixth seed.
But we put you in Louisville.
Yeah, put us in Louisville. Yeah.
You had a good fan base.
It was a great fan base. Great fan base, but.
But you're not wrong. You had a hell of a round of 32 game against a great Marquette.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we're seeing one of those guys right now, Jay Crowder, and with the Phoenix Suns and the career that he's had in the NBA. And, you know, he willed them to that, you know, that big-time win. So, but seriously, though, like, you look at this roster, and we'll get into the roster and some of the guys in a moment, but you look at the amount of talent that these guys had, not just at the college level for Murray State men's basketball, but overseas and NBA talent as well. What are you expecting? What are you, I guess, putting together for these guys? How do you keep that momentum going into practice? Knowing, man, we've got a squad here.
You know, like me being an associate, excuse me, me being an associate, you know, I'm just one that's watch the guys, honestly, you know. It's like, feel like a kid, you know, feel like I'm going to Disney World, you know, I'm just want to enjoy the rides, you know, enjoying the ride, just watching these guys, like, because we have some great talent. You know, it's not the big names that the other teams have, like the Ohio State team with Aaron Craft, Jared Sullinger, and then, you know, Carmen's crew, those guys from Syracuse. You know, we may be a small school with small guys, but we got guys with big hearts, and they just want to ball. They just want to ball and just prove that, you know, we belong. You know, we're not overlooked. Murray State is not an overlooked school. Even before, you know, the success of John Moran and Cameron Payne and Isaiah Cannon, like, Murray State has always been a great program.
And the Overlooked, let's put you on ESPN3 for your first game. That's fitting. It really is.
Yeah, it is fitting. But you know, hey, it doesn't matter. You know, the guys we're bringing up, bringing up to Peoria to play against Heart Fire, you know, it doesn't matter if ESPN, CBS, ABC, it doesn't matter. We're going out there, we're going to prove that we belong.
ESPN the Ocho?
Yeah, the Ocho. Yeah. The Ocho.
Yeah.
I do wish at some point maybe you and I will work for the Ocho, Neil.
That would be great.
Want to toss in a little bit of the roster here, and we don't have to break down every single guy, but the resumes for these guys speak for themselves. You have Isaiah Cannon, Brandon Garrett, Ed Daniel, Shaq Buchanan, Ivan Aska, B.J. Jenkins, Dante Poole, Jeffrey Moss, Jonathan Farrell, Rashid Suleiman, and Nate West. We'll get to those last two guys in a minute because they're kind of ringers in this whole situation. Some guys that really performed well at their stops. But those nine racers, what can you tell us about those guys coalescing and how they even committed to the process in the first place? I know Isaiah played a big part, but the other eight guys as well. How do you get them all on board for something like this?
Well, those guys, you know, we've talked about it, like we all in a group chat together. We've talked about it for years. You know, they say like, "Team Money, get it together." I say, "All right, cool." You know, talk to the TBT committee, like what all we can do, because they wanted us to be in for years. You know, guys like they say, "Yeah, I'll do it." Nah. You know, when it's time to really get things going, but finally, you know, it took for one guy to do it. You know, it took for Isaiah to say, like, you know what, we're in. And then that's when all the dominoes started falling. Everybody was like, you know, I'm in.
Isaiah is a two-time OVC Player of the Year, and I mean, again, we can go into all these different resumes. And there's more than 10,000 points from Murray State history here. Almost. I mean, BJ, Dante, Jeff, Farrell in his two-year career, Aska, Buchanan is a 2019 OVC Defensive Player of the Year, now with the Memphis Hustle, you know, played a little bit with the Grizzlies. Brandon Garrett's senior year, if I'm not mistaken, I've got some numbers in front of me, and he's been playing in Switzerland, yes. I believe. His senior year, 6.6 points, 5 rebounds, started all 31 games of that 12-13 season. Like, Neil, what are some of the memories that you have from some of these guys and just this collective talent that is on this roster?
Well, a lot of it is start with the overlooked. Hey, we have this Isaiah Cannon kid in. So I roll over to practice, and I see this little bitty dude out there.
5'11", 200.
And he didn't have any. Now he's got muscles. Then it's like, are you serious? Really? And then I watched him shoot and went, wow. 30-footers seem like, oh, this is, you know, I can just toss that up in my sleeve.
Yeah, it's a layup to him.
No. Unbelievable range on him. It's like, does he miss?
No.
Really?
He does not.
I mean, it was obviously in practice not being guarded, but it's like, oh, my gosh. But, you know, I could see why he would be overlooked. From a body standpoint, I'm not sure. Once you saw him, ask Dave Luce about Isaiah Cannon. Hit 7 one night and a half against him. Like, that's all I can handle.
Dave Luce, Dickie Nutt.
Yeah.
You know,
on and on and on and on. So Brandon Garrett, he improved year after year after year. Turned out to be a really fantastic defender. B.J. Jenkins, maybe the best free throw shooter between him and Rick Jones I've ever seen. And, I mean, BJ, it's money. It's two. He gets two. He's going to hit two right around the 90% mark. Just a fantastic kid. The last time I interviewed him, just to show you, I think we were playing maybe Morgan State. That might not be right. But anyhow, I had him on at halftime, and he said, you know, I wish I knew that I was having the greatest time of my life when it was happening. Didn't know till it was over that I was having the greatest time of my life. And just to show you how much it means to these guys. And that's what you get. I mean, when people use the phrase racers for life, people think, well, they just throw that out there. They don't. It really means a lot to them, doesn't it, T-Mac?
Oh, yeah. You know, this is a special place. You know, I've been blessed. You know, my situation for me to end up in Murray, you know, I've heard of Murray State, but just being a part of it, you know, even in the early years, you know, I couldn't be there for Coach Kennedy's induction, you know, due to obligations with Murray High. But, you know, just listening to what him and Coach Brown were talking about, this special place, and people say, oh, Murray, Kentucky, like, where's Murray, Kentucky? Like, you know, we were at Kennesaw State a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. you know, visiting down with Amir and also attending their team camp, and they were like, where's Murray? Where's Murray? Like, you know, southwestern Kentucky. And they say, John Morant. Like, oh, yeah.
There you go.
You know, this is
true.
You know, it's like I knew the Murray State before the job I ran.
Uh-huh.
You know, and, you know, this being a special place, you know, this is really where I got my start in coaching, mm-hmm. you know, in this community. And, like, and those guys especially, like, you know, I said, look, thank y'all. The reason where I'm at today is because of you guys. And they say, yeah, you know, hey, we did it for you.
Ivan Askew, he's on the list, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, happy birthday. It's his birthday today. Do you know that?
I'll text him. You know.
There you go. Ivan Askew, happy birthday today. But he emerged. When he came, he wasn't all he could be. They challenged Ivan to be better, to be tougher. And, oh, my gosh, his junior and senior year, he was absolutely amazing, a major force inside.
Well, really, like, you know, everybody looks at his junior and senior year, like, but it's really from day one.
Yeah.
You know, because not many guys could come in and start day one.
Yeah, and he did, but by the time he was a junior or senior, he was dominating.
Oh, yeah.
He was good early, but he turned out to be a great player junior, senior year.
Yeah, yeah.
Ivan was good enough pre-G League when it was the D League, the developmental league. Ivan had several interviews and experiences in the D League before just deciding. I believe he played for his national team, Virgin Islands, and
he's still playing for them.
And still playing for them, right? Exactly. That's what that's kind of what I want to get at too. And at some point, like I said, we don't have to break down every single number these guys have produced. But you take a look; most of these guys have been playing competitive basketball consistently since leaving Murray State in some form or fashion. I know Dante's kind of, you know, done some things. Jeffrey has tried to find some opportunity, but you know, Jonathan Farrell's been overseas in Europe. You have Ivan Askew that's been busy. Shaq's been busy. Ed Daniel, we know how busy he's been, I believe, in Italy, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yes.
And so you're taking a look. And Brandon Garrett, of course, again, mentioned that he's in Switzerland. Isaiah Cannon's in Russia after a pretty solid backup career in the NBA, averaging about 8-2-2, and was, you know, fortunately part of the process in Philadelphia, and a great experience there. So, no, they didn't win a lot of games, but that team, I've read a lot of features about that team, him, Robert Covington, two OVC guys, and a lot of, you know, a lot of talent, I guess, that now is talented in the NBA, but in that point, they were all so young, they were part of the Sam Hinkie process to try and get draft picks, and and now you go and you look at that situation, and maybe that team, some of those features that have come out of that team of just how close they were, just trying to just keep making it work, even though they went, 10-72 that year, I believe it was.
Yeah, and then also help, you know, Simmons and Embiid just start maturing more. Because, you know, those young guys coming in, you know, fresh out of college, and you want them to be the guys now, but they have to – go through the process.
Yeah, they had to go. They absolutely had to go through the process. But like I said, you just take a look at this roster and how much experience overseas. I want to go back quickly to BJ Jenkins. I can tell you the one thing that sticks in my mind more than anything. Well, more than how well he played in the NCAA tournament. He has Murray State, the logo tattooed on his chest. When he came in for Hoopalooza, I was able to get a great picture of it. He was talking to Adam Wells and hamming it up. But, I mean, I don't know if I've taken a picture of a happier man. I'm not sure. I mean, he is just full cheese with a tattoo of Murray State on his left breast there, right above his heart. And it's, it's massive, Neil. It's huge. And I'm sure you've seen it too.
And he's also talented in hip hop too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazingly talented.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, speaking of BJ Jenkins, I remember when he first got here, when he first transferred here, like him and Dante Poole.
He transferred from Liberty, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
You know, I think we were picked to win the league that year when he first came with his sit-out year with all the injuries, you know, with Juwan tearing his ACL. You know, Dante Poole was redshirted, then he had to take him off a redshirt. And that was a special team, too. Like, if he had all the pieces together, like, we could have won the league that year, even though I think Moorhead won it.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Moorhead won. But BJ –
they had this guy named Kenneth Fareed.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah. But BJ, he was a guy that really helped change the culture of that team. Like, really just the start of what was going on. Like, you know, everybody sees what goes on the court, but nobody sees what's going on behind the scenes. And he was a leader from day one. You know, even, you know, during practice, even though he couldn't be on the main squad in practice because, you know, he couldn't play.
Right.
But it's just, you know, his attitude, what he brought to the team. Like, he was really one of the key starts for – you know, for our success those couple of years until Coach Kennedy left and went to Texas A&M.
And you mentioned Dante Poole, who has made a better transformation junior to senior year than him. And I know he probably had the talent, just kind of behind some guys, but oh my, he goes from backup guy to legitimate star in 1 year on that team that ended up as one of the top 10 teams in the country.
Yeah, because Amir challenged him after we lost in the NIT to Missouri State, and that's before he left in went to Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. Amir challenged him to get in the gym and work and work and work and work. And then over the summer, and also what helped when we went to Toronto, you know, I'm up there filming and I'm watching, like, man, this kid's going to have a special year.
He averaged 14 points a game his senior year. Is that right? 14.1?
I believe so.
Yeah.
He was, I don't know why I remember that.
And he was, I think, instrumental in the, you know, the Memphis win, because Memphis is like, Cannon's not beating us. I don't know who's beating us, but it won't be him.
Yeah.
Well, it was Dante Poole.
Yeah, because I think he hit, what, 6 threes?
He did. He hit 6 threes.
Oh, he buried them.
Yeah. They just kind of like, we're going to have to go.
I have a fun memory about that Memphis game, and I wasn't there, obviously. At this point, I'm not a sports reporter. I was trying to graduate from Murray State at the time. Matter of fact, had a couple classes with you and Isaiah Cannon.
Yeah, journalism.
And journalism classes while I was in the middle of slowly but surely trying to figure out what my life was going to look like. Still don't know the answer to that, but I digress. I was at a friend of mine's apartment, and we had been playing like NCAA like football the whole day. And I was like, all right, guys, I got a couple stories I got to write. I was working for the Murray State News at the time, but not covering men's basketball. That was Sophie McDonald and EJ and Elizabeth Johnson, everybody else's responsibility. But so I go into my friend's kitchen, and I turn on the radio. And who do I hear? Neil Bradley and I believe Paul Bubb calling that game. And each passing moment, I brought up ESPN app on my phone, and I was like, oh, hell, this is ahead. I don't want to know this. And so I just turned my phone off and turned the radio back on, and Neil's like, it's good! And it's, you know, 76-72, Racers win, Josh Pastner, suck it. There you go. No, not really. He's a good coach. But yeah. I'm just saying, it was like, in that moment, I wasn't a journalist for college basketball yet. And at that point, I was like, oh, man, this team's going to be pretty good. And, yeah, I just very vividly remember sitting in my friend's kitchen with the radio on. You know, it sounds old school, but it's exactly what I was doing to listen to the rest of that game to see how things were going in FedEx Forum. And a big win, obviously.
Me and Isaiah sat down and watched that game last summer when I visited him. Like, we got done working out. He has a theater in his house, and he has all the old DVDs of his games from college.
How about that?
Really?
Yeah, and we sat down, not just, you know, I was like, you know, let me watch this Memphis game. We were watching it.
Well, because you didn't get to see it there. You're playing it.
You're right.
You're in it.
Right, just watching it. You know, I was up there filming, and I was just, oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, because don't get me wrong, like, we played, like, they still had some guys that went pro. You know, one guy, Will Barton, who's still playing for the Denver Nuggets right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never forget. You
He's
know,
pretty good.
Yeah, we always joke about this with Dante. I don't know if it's Dante or Juwan. Like, he made a big shot, and he did a throat slash, and he told one of them, he said, I'm a pro. I'm a pro. And I remember watching that last summer. I was like, I can't believe this guy really said that.
Yeah, but he wasn't wrong.
Yeah, he wasn't wrong.
Still didn't get the win.
But he lost that day.
Yeah.
Oops.
Pros lose.
Yeah.
You know, can't win, you know. Even the best pro teams, you know, they go 73-9. They still lost 9 games. You know, looking at you, Golden State. So. And you didn't win the finals that year either.
And the other note from that game, I don't know, you may remember this, but I had it on tape because we had our tape rolling, was when they introduced Memphis, coached by John Calipari.
I remember looking straight at Pastner. Pastner looked at the table. Oh, my gosh.
Wait, I didn't know that. They introduced the wrong head coach?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because I think,
and that was his second year. It's not like it was his first year there.
Yeah, but I think what happened, I don't know if they were trying to play a joke or something, you know, because I think years ago, I think when Tavesser was coaching, Murray State went down to Memphis and played.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Calipari was the coach then.
Yeah, I think that's right, actually.
Well, the PA guy, they had a little art. He just said he just brain farted. He said he was doing some other things and just, oops. And
that
felt awful about
it. So, I mean, they took an L before the game even started.
Pretty much. And Calipari, his name has come up recently. He's the only guy that can hold Devin Booker under 20 a game.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If you need that done.
Ruthless.
He did.
Yeah, I know.
For
he
a whole year.
Did. Devin Booker.
He's good.
Was behind the Harrison twins. Damn, ooh, man. That's...
And where are they playing? Which NBA team are they playing with now?
Okay.
Oh, Oklahoma?
Okay.
Oklahoma?
No,
oh, they're not playing.
They're not playing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I know what you're doing. I see what you're doing here. You're catfishing. Look, that Kentucky team was really good, and I know nobody wants to listen to Kentucky podcast here in Old Murray, Kentucky.
No, we don't.
But I will say, that team was super deep. That unfortunately also pros lose, and they were all pros, and they did not win a national championship. So,
and that was the same year we won 25 in a row.
Yeah.
And Calipari was an advocate for us, like, well, Murray State's not in.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have been. We can talk about that's a separate podcast, T-Money. I mean, I was furious.
Me too.
And trying to be an unbiased journalist, at that point, I was already working at the Murray Ledger and Times. Ryan Richardson was taking care of Murray State men's basketball, but I, of course, was an ardent supporter, someone who was watching the team closely and trying to get to know everybody and learn those things. And I just the numbers didn't add up to me. How can you be, and I don't mind, let's just dive into it briefly because some of these guys were involved with it. How do you, it goes back to being overlooked, how do you go from being ranked in the top 25 to not in a field of 64 in a day by losing on a last-second basket? Credit to Belmont. They played a great championship game. I'm not taking anything away from that. I might have tweeted a couple of inappropriate terms when they won the game that might have rhymed with, like, Muck Selmont. But I'm just saying, like, I was mad in the moment, but, like, Belmont won the game. They get to be the representative, but why were you not a two-bid league that year? It just didn't make any sense to me at all. And maybe you two guys have better words for it, but you might not. I don't know.
You know, that's our team.
Overlooked.
Overlooked. They're overlooking the little guys.
Well, I do know this. They did go to the NIT. And when we went to Tulsa, I was able to get on their fans' message boards, and it was like, why is this team not in the NCAA tournament? Because they don't belong here in the NIT. They throttled Tulsa. I mean, just beat them like a drum.
Yeah.
Just hammered them.
I remember I was sitting on the end of the bench because, you know, usually the managers would sit behind the bench, but in Tulsa, you know, everybody has to sit in front. It's like,
yeah.
I think, you know, before Austin Peay changed their floor, Austin Peay was the same way.
Yeah, I think so.
Everybody had to sit on one row. But, you know, and then we were a 3 seed.
Yeah.
And then I tell you, know, a team that was top 25, you know, we lose last second shot, and they make us a 3 seed.
Like, should have been a 1 seed in the NIT.
That is correct.
And then lost on a last second shot in the NIT.
When he traveled.
And that goes to overtime. The Racers are going to New York.
Oh, yeah.
They had all the momentum. One of the guys on this team, Jeffrey Moss, hitting a big shot in that game.
To tie it.
Jeffrey, with an outstanding career, yeah, hit it to tie it. All the momentum on the Racers' side. They had one of their big dudes foul out. It was happening, but undone by another bank-in three-pointer.
Not even that. He traveled. They literally called a travel on the air. Really? I was watching that game in my living room in Murray, Kentucky, and my wife was in the kitchen in the middle of cooking. She was like, well, we're getting ready for overtime. She's not a huge Murray State, UK. She didn't watch a lot of college basketball, but she, you know, deals with me watching college basketball.
Exactly. Okay.
And then, of course, covering it for 6 years. And I was like, are you, you know. And I was like, that's a travel. We're going to OT. And they're like, nope, wave it off. It's good. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Like,
yeah.
And my wife was just like, well, I guess you don't want any cookies right now. And I was like, no, I don't want anything right now.
I remember going back to Twitter after the game.
Stupid.
You know getting back to getting to the hotel because we flew back the next day.
Yeah.
You know, getting back and looking at Twitter, I was, you know, looking at all the tweets. You know, everybody was tagging me. I'll never forget one of my friends. He's a jokester. After the game, it was like – for some reason, my face was on the TV. It was on TV. My friend took a picture.
They caught you.
Yeah. We were in a huddle. And he put the Jordan – I don't know if you remember this. Like the Jordan crying face.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, the Jordan meme?
Yeah, the Jordan meme. Like he put us in a Jordan meme. I'm like, are you serious?
That's in the meme Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jordan meme is
– yeah.
To the point where he even mentioned it at Kobe Bryant's funeral. He's like, y'all going to make me one more crying meme, which – rest in peace, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
But yeah, but we keep diving into these stories about these guys because these were guys that were involved. Jeffrey Moss was part of that team. John Farrell was part of that team. You know, you're now bringing in all of these guys for a specific team. There's two guys on this list that I'd like for you, T-Money, to bring in a little bit of perspective on because you're going to know them a little bit better than we are. Rashid Suleiman. Who is going to be involved? Former Duke and Maryland star, who has quite a bit of experience, you know, after playing some great college basketball. And then Nate West, who I believe played some college basketball with Jeff Martin Jr. at LETU, who was a D3 Hoops National Player of the Year in 2020. Neil, listen to these numbers. This is absurd. In 2019-20, this kid's 5'11", 165. And I say kid, I'm you know, I'm a kid too. We're all kids. But 28.6 points per game, 7.9 rebounds per game, and 7.1 assists per game.
Oh, that's pretty good.
5'11", 165, I get. A little smaller, a little twitchy guy, but I don't care. I mean, you can put the ball in the basket. I don't care what size you are.
Like, it doesn't matter which level. Like, if you can average almost 30 points.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. D1, 2, 3, whatever. Like, averaging 30 is averaging 30. Like, and this kid is a baller. Because Jeff Martin, like, he asked me and Juice, you know, Brian Shear, if everybody doesn't know his real name. Brian Shear.
Juice Shear.
Yeah, Juice Shear.
We use nicknames here. Neil, yeah. what would your nickname be?
I don't know if I have one. Well, they may have one for me. I don't have one for myself.
I think my nickname, I don't even have a nickname either. I guess maybe a last word.
You know me, Neil actually is my nickname. So
yeah, you're true. Neil is your nickname. Yeah, it's your radio name. But I would say mine probably just has to be like last word. Like I have to have the last word for some reason. Okay. I digress. Go on.
Yeah, but getting back to Nate West, you know, Jeff, he reached out to us like, you know, what about all my guy from, you know, the school I went to? You know, he sent us the film. I was like, man, this kid could ball.
Yeah.
Kid could ball. Like, you know, if we have our seven guys that we need to make the team, to make it an official alumni team, it's like, you know, just get them on, you know. The more, the merrier.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about Sheed Suleiman? I know, Yuna, you talked to us a little bit pre-show just about the experience of getting him on board, but obviously this is a proven guy who knows some of these dudes. You know, he knows some of these racers. What can you tell us about Sheed and what he can bring to the team?
Sheed, you know, if years past, you know, Murray State, we look like a small team. Like the teams in the past, you know, we have guys that are, you know, 6'1", 6', you know, playing 1 to 2, sometimes even 3. If you look at the team for 2012,
yeah,
Juwan Long, he's maybe 6'2", almost 6'3". He's playing the small forward spot. And when you go on against teams that's like Syracuse, you know, the House of Pain with the Illinois team, like they got guys that are about 6'7", 6'8", playing a 3. And we don't need guys that are 6'1", 6'2". Guarding a guy at 6'7", because they'll take him down the post and post him up. So I say, you know, hey, we need some length. We need some length at the 3 position. And, you know, one name that came to mind, I say, what about Rasheed Suleiman? If Duke doesn't get the team, which, you know, I think they're too good to do that because they got guys already.
Zing!
Yeah, they're making millions already.
Hey, listen, you can throw those zings out here. This is a safe space. But no, it's fair. I mean, you're right.
Yeah, like, because, like, you know, guys, because we were talking pre-show, talking about Carmen's Crew. You know, we take care of business first game against Heart Fire. Got to take care of Carmen's Crew. And they just picked up a huge pickup yesterday against DeAndre Kane.
Wow.
Who played for Iowa State.
Okay.
And yeah, and that's like, you know, and he's 6'7", plays a 3, very athletic. You know, getting Rasheed Suleiman, you know, he's 6'7", very athletic. You know, he'll do some special things for us. But getting him, that was really huge.
Well, the one thing that I want to mention to our listeners, but you guys can both attest to, I've seen some basketball. You look at how big the tournament was last year when people were searching for sports in the middle of the summer. This is a huge tournament that's only gotten bigger year after year after year. The size of the tournament, the scope of the tournament, and just how popular the tournament's become. To the point now where NBA scouts are now scouting the tournament,
yeah,
to make sure that they are like not sleeping on somebody that can help their team or help their, you know, help their franchise down the road, either at the G League level or perhaps even at the professional level.
Yeah, because if you
it's a big deal here.
One of the guys that played for the Nets, I forgot his name, he played in the TBT just a couple years ago, and he was a guy that played overseas, and then, you know, he played well, he got invited to the G League.
Is it Bruce Brown?
Yes, Bruce Brown.
Yeah.
You know, hey, that helps careers. You know, a guy who was, you know, like our team name, overlooked, you know, guys overlooked, and, you know, he did what he had to do in a TBT to get back to the league. And guy was starting, you know, Kyrie ran out.
What's the prize this year?
I think the prize is $2 million, I think.
Winner take all.
Yeah, winner take all.
Man, you love it. I mean, you know, you just get excited thinking about the possibility. I know the tournament, you guys are going to be in Peoria. I believe it's July 25th through the 28th. If everything works,
I think the 24th.
Yeah, they play the 24th.
Okay, and then it's just like the NCAA tournament. You know, you lose, you're out. You win, you keep going. Right.
Right.
They haven't changed that format.
Right, but with this one, you know, you have to win 3 games to advance.
Okay, gotcha.
You have to win your pod.
Oh, okay, win the pod to advance. All right. Any other special rules in the game for the TBT?
Really no special rules. Of course, I think it's 24-second shot clock or 30-second shot clock.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, you know, the Elam ending.
I love the Elam ending.
I love it too, you know.
Yeah, I remember that.
Thanks. What can you tell us about the Elam ending for those that don't know?
Elam ending, 4 minutes ago in the fourth quarter, clock stops. Whoever's ahead, they have to score 12 more points to win. So, for example, if we're playing and we're up maybe 66, 54, you know, plus 12 is what? 66?
78?
78.
So you got to get to that to win.
Yeah, you have to get to that number to win.
The other team gets there first, they win.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. I like that.
I love it.
Not bad.
I love it.
Can I talk about some of the other guys? Because Ed Daniel.
Yeah, bring it in.
Ed Daniel. Hey. You got to be an Ed story. But I have to know this. Was one of Ed's demands, I got to have Dr. Pepper and gummy bears or I'm not coming. Because I remember those stories.
Yep.
We have an emergency. Ed doesn't have any gummy bears and Dr. Pepper. This must be rectified.
See, I roomed with Ed my last year, my undergrad year.
What all did he have in the bag? We always thought he had a maybe small person in there that he had do some of his cooking for him. Because he brought so much stuff on with him, I couldn't believe it.
Oh, man. Like, I would go, you know, my ritual before every game, like, I would make sure the locker room's clean.
Okay.
Jerseys are out, you know. And I would have to put stuff away in Ed's locker.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I opened the top of his locker, there were maybe three, four, five bags of gummy bears. I'm like, golly, Ed.
That many?
Yeah.
Now, he could also play some ball. And I've seen over 40 years of basketball. I've been doing it for a while. But
I'm only 36, Neil.
Shut up. I hate you. He is the best player I've ever seen in a Murray State uniform take a charge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not even close.
Yeah, for a guy how athletic he is, you know, he could go up and block anybody's shot. He could dunk on anybody. But he, you know, he was a true definition of a person that would love to give up his body.
Yeah. He was so good at it.
Yeah, just the little things, you know, even me being a coach now, preach to the kids all the time. Hey, just do the little things, you know. Take one for the team. And Ed was that guy that always took one for the team. Yeah. It doesn't matter if he got dunked on or what. If it's a charge, it's a charge, and we're getting the ball. It's a turnover on another team. You're trying to go score another end.
Yeah.
The best tape of that, and I know he had so many tapes of just selling his soul, essentially, for the basketball defensively, but the Marquette game.
Oh, yeah.
He saved his best for last. I know it wasn't a win, but you go back and you look at even some of the YouTube clips of him just absolutely dominating the defense, the block, the rebound, the hustle back, the block, the rebound, the hustle back. That back-to-back sequence in the first half is what helped propel Murray State to that early lead.
Mm-hmm.
That was a low-scoring game anyways. I believe it was 53-46 at the end. You didn't even combine for 100 points.
Couldn't make a shot.
Neither team. But it just so happened that one team made a couple extras. But one big reason that game was as tight and as low scoring as it was because Ed Daniel was absolutely, like, he trended on Twitter the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Because he was so dominant in that basketball game. Kind of similar to Terrell Miller and how dominant he was against West Virginia. Even though the Racers didn't win that game, he was so dominant that he trended on Twitter that whole day because he had a monster double-double against West Virginia and those guys.
Oh, you mean Press Virginia?
Press Virginia. You're exactly right. Now Javon Carter looks like he may get a few extra minutes for the Suns with Campaign's unfortunate injury, which we may talk about in a few minutes.
But also wanted to mention, if I can.
Yeah, no, we have.
I don't want to leave Shaq Buchanan out.
No.
I mean, Shaq made such an impact in his time here as a JUCO on just everything he did defensively. I mean, just a fantastic player. He can make a three when he needs to, but you got the toughness whenever you got Shaq Buchanan.
Yeah, you know, because I wasn't around for Shaq Buchanan, but, you know, still being here in town, you know, come over to watch practice. But just watching him, his 2 years here in Murray, like, you know, he made a huge impact this on this program period. You know, you had Ja, you know, you had the back-to-back OVC player of the years with Ja and Shaq. But, you know, it's just what he brought to the table. This is toughness. Everybody, you know he could jump out the gym. But defensively, you know, like that guy, he can lock up.
Well, he enjoyed playing defense.
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
And then, you know, nowadays, you know, kids are watching, you know, want to do workouts all the time. Just want to work on your offensive game. But Shaq prided himself on defense.
Well, when you're 6'7", 6'6", 6'7", was he even that tall?
6'6", maybe, something like that.
For, you know, but your wingspan is 7'2".
His hands are massive. Yeah. Biggest hands I've ever seen in someone that size.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's a pterodactyl.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I mean, he's a dinosaur. It's terrifying to come at you in the passing lane, and you knew if he stole it, it was a transition dunk. That's just what was going to happen. Sorry.
Transition dunk or pass it to Ja or whoever the guard is coming up the floor, 2-on-1, throwing it up, he's putting it on your head.
Yeah, and it's gone.
And
it's,
I get thrown under the bus more than any than his – was it his – whatever game it was. I think it was in Jacksonville State maybe. He hadn't done well from three over his last, like, four games. 1 of 11, 1 of 13. Needing a three, and he takes it, and I said something like that. That's not the guy you want shooting it unless he makes it like that. I've heard that about 20 times.
You're talking about you're talking. So that was that started though, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that his junior year?
Yeah, well, I think it was his junior year.
But then it came into the senior year, and it was against Jacksonville State. You're exactly right, Neil. I was sideline. You know, of course, reporting.
So
on
I
the
knew
game
not
the
to say at that time.
Well, you know, well but you made up for it.
I did.
You said that's the guy
you want. Yeah.
You want taking the shot.
But I've heard so much grief on that. he made you look like a fool. It's like he did make me look like a fool, and I was okay with that.
That's okay. The thing about it is, from a reporter standpoint, you just look at numbers. You know, you're trying to be. Yeah. As nonpartisan as possible, and Shaq would be the first to tell you that his three-pointer really didn't particularly fall very much in his junior year. His senior year, however, he got in the gym and worked, and he moved it up to a very reasonable, I believe, 33-34%, especially later in the season. You're right, he had kind of had that schneid a little bit going into the OVC tournament, but he made two of the biggest three-pointers that you had to make against a great JSU team. Before Ja, you know, one of the better shots in that game, and I'm just thinking about it from my perspective, was the Javion Eaves three in the corner.
Oh yeah, that's a huge three.
Colossal. Like that, I thought. Yes, Ja won the game, but Burnell was not going to lose that game for JSU. He was that good in that game.
Yeah,
he just took every double team to the post and scored. But Eaves' three bought them that extra possession they needed. So that Ja would have time to win the game. That's how tight that game was. Unbelievable.
A game that Magic Johnson was there to watch.
Yes. A game where I got a picture of Magic, and I'll never forget it. Larry Fitzgerald was in the stands as well.
Oh, yeah, he was there too.
With Robert Sarver. Because the Phoenix Suns, it's amazing how this all is full circle, the Suns thought they were going to get the number two pick. They were that, and they were going to pair Ja Morant with Devin Booker.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. The lottery fell the other way.
My late mother-in-law, her favorite player of all time, Magic Johnson. So she found out that Magic was at it, was texting my wife, go get his autograph. Like, oh, yeah, I can just stroll up there.
Yeah,
it'll be no problem. I need you to sign some stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not how it's going to work.
No.
You're not going to be able to get within 20 feet of him. So that is not going to happen. So she was mad at us, never forgave us. I do want to mention one other thing.
Yeah, please.
Jonathan Farrell. I love how he also was a transformational, improved from where he came. Big game-winning shot, I guess it was against Evansville, I think.
The minute you said his name, that game popped in my head.
What a game.
I remember the play like yesterday because, you know, Coach Brown dropped.
Oh, go through it, yeah.
You know, he drew it up. You know, of course, you know, everybody's looking for either for Cam or even Jarvis, you know. It was a box set play. Coach Brown drew it up, and then what we call now a screener, and, you know, everybody went with the main guys. Jonathan Farrell slipped underneath the basket, caught it, laid it up. And then I think there's a picture of me jumping. I think I could have dunked the ball, like how excited I was behind the bench.
And just because for him, because that was the great moment because of the kind of guy he was. I was so happy for him.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan Farrell, like he's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
He's one of my,
his great person.
Yeah, his heart. Like he has a great heart. Like what he did for that team, you know, he was a glue guy. He was that guy. I know if you had Jarvis, he was the energy guy to, you know, throw it up. You know, I forgot which game it was. We were at Jacksonville State. I don't know if it was.
It made ESPN top 10.
Yeah, I mean, Cam threw the pass from half court. You know, everybody talks about, you know, the flashy stuff. But Jonathan Farrell, you know, he was the guy that got you the rebounds.
Yep.
You know, he set the good screens. He was that defensive guy in the post. You know, if he had to guard the best guy in the post, like he said, you know what, hey, you're not going to score on me I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're about 6'8", 6'12". I'll say 6'12", about 7 feet. You know,
I like 6'12 a lot better.
6'12 is better.
It sounds bigger than 7 feet.
That's what you say about someone who has a 7-footer.
That dude's 6'12".
He's 6'12". He's not a 7-footer.
Yeah, but he was a guy that, you know, to take it back, like he was one of the main reasons why, because he helped keep the guys together too.
Yeah.
He was a great leader, him and TJ Sapp.
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about that Evansville game. If I'm not mistaken, that was Marty Simmons' head coach, who is now at Eastern Illinois. Is that right?
Yeah, that's him.
That's also the team. Who was the guard that was so good on that team? Ballantyne?
Yeah, DJ Ballantyne. Yeah, he was really good.
He could get to the line about as well as anybody
else. He was filthy, and then I'm gonna butcher this name, but I think I'm right. Is it Edgevicious Makavicious?
That's close enough. We're not gonna count off on that.
Oh man, I don't know if I could spell that one. If it was
I had
Final
to
Jeopardy.
Say it multiple times, like don't get him the ball.
Was it Miscavages
or something like that?
Whatever. He was amazing.
Or
was,
as I would call him many times, they get it to the big guy inside. He'll push it right back out.
Yeah, which is exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, which is exactly.
And if he scores, you have to say it.
But that's what he was. If I'm not mistaken, going back to that play, he missed. He missed
the free throw.
Yeah, well, he missed the free throw, but then he missed the assignment. He didn't see Farrell slip under. I was watching the game online. I mean, he didn't see him slip in from the inbound play.
Yeah.
Unbelievable play.
Yeah. You know, attention to detail, you know, it's just got, hey, if you got to communicate, you know, what's going on. If, like, they communicate the right way, I think they were up one.
Yeah.
Evansville was up one.
They threw it out of bounds or something?
Yeah.
It's like a length of the court pass and it went out of bounds.
That's right. Yep, and so you got the underneath the inbound to try and win it. Unreal. That was that game was a catalyst for that season too.
Yeah, because it started off. Like, I think we started
2-4.
2-4. You know, we got down to Nashville. We lost to Valpo. No, we lost to Portland. Was it Portland the first game?
Yeah, you lost.
Yeah, it was Portland.
Portland. And then we got throttled by Valpo
by 40.
Yeah, and I think you know we had to come to Jesus meeting that day.
Yeah,
right after the game. And after that, you know, we beat Drake, and it's like, good, we'll be going home with a win. And then, I forgot who else, I think that's, we went to.
Did y'all play Xavier, too, that year?
Yes. We got throttled by Xavier.
Slapped, yeah.
And then Xavier's really good. That's when they had the Blewett kid.
Yep.
They had a bunch of great guys on that team.
Yeah, who was the head coach then?
Chris Mack.
Was it Chris Mack? Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah. It's crazy, and now he's at Louisville. It's all just one big giant circle. It's awesome. Couple of things I wanted to add on to this. You mentioned pre-show that there might be a couple of guys in the reserve wings that have kind of inquired. Can you mention names or can you not? Or how does that work? Like, and what are you guys looking at?
We've been in talks, you know, because I think the roster's full. But if you add more guys, it's going to be, I think, $1,000 more. Because anything can happen. Like, you know, a family situation.
Somebody get hurt.
Sure.
Yeah, somebody get hurt. You know, because it's not, you know, we just can't add on the fly. You know, once the rosters are set, they're set.
Yeah.
And, you know, just got to be ready.
Well, also, about that, trainer. Yeah, you know, there's Eric Frederick. You have him, and every team has their own. Do you guys have one, or is there, like, one for the site?
I think there's going to be one for the site.
Okay.
Like, you can't go without a trainer on the site.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. All right. So that'll take care of it.
I've just had a couple of people ask me, and I'm not sure why me, just anybody in general. But, you know, you take a look at this roster. I'm not trying to complain at all. But you do wonder what's Jarvis up to? What's Jonathan Stark up to? Are these just guys that weren't available? Or
We've reached out. Like, you know, we reached out to all the guys, you know. And they said, nah, I'm good, or just got other obligations going on.
Well, they're busy, yeah. I think the one thing, if I'm not mistaken, Jonathan's busy in Germany right now. And I know he had his, or was busy, then he had his summer camp, and then I think he's got to get back to Germany, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. Like, I don't know more of that.
Yeah. I'm not trying to, like, besmirch anything. Like, this is a great team. I just know that, you know, there's more alumni out there. You know, does this generate more, I don't know, more pomp and circumstance for those guys in the future? You know, do they want to get involved?
It's always going to be open. It's always going to be open, you know. And I'm fortunate, you know, Jeff Martin, he took the lead on this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and he's reached out to guys. I reached out to guys. And I think Juice, he's reached out to guys. Even Coach McMahon, you know, I don't know if I can mention him or not, but he's like, you know, what about this guy, this, that? And we say, you know, we try to reach out if you can do it, try to reach out. And you're like, and he's helped out in the process too.
Well, I mean, you definitely can mention him. I mean, these are guys; these are alumni. This is not a recruiting violation. He's recruiting. he's already recruited these guys, at least some of them, and so now he's just trying to recruit them again.
In terms of help being out, though, there is also ways. All this stuff isn't free. So if someone wants to help money wise, there's a way they can do that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like we started a GoFundMe account. I think it's the Overlooked on GoFundMe. Don't want to misquote it.
Well, you don't want to get it to someone else's account and find out you've given to, like, well, neglected kittens or something when you wanted to give to the racers. not that that's bad, but you want it to go to the right spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, because, you know, this, like you said, it's not free. It's not free. Like, you know, we don't have guys like, hey, here's some change here.
I know that there are several alumni that are actually several just fans. Mm-hmm. You know, alumni of Murray State, fans of Murray State men's basketball that will be attending. I've already had a couple people reach out asking me how they can help the Overlooked, and this is a way. You know, if you can't go, or if you were still going and still want to help, you know, I do think there. As a matter of fact, I had a couple people reach out to me about the possibility of like a pep band, like an alumni pep band.
Yes. Somebody should reach out to me about that, and they said no because of COVID.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because maybe next year, I think, because everything will be back to normal.
I think so.
Yeah. We're really starting in August, you know, because I'm hearing about college football. They're going to have full stands, you know, like Alabama. They said first game, they're going to have like 100, feel like 100 million, a million fans in the stands.
It's possible. Yeah. With an Alabama football game, it's totally possible. Know. I think the best part about the TBT, though, is last year, correct me if I'm wrong, it was only a 24 team setup. So this year, is it 64?
Is it 64 is an NCAA feeling.
It's amazing that it's going to go back to that because the competitiveness of it. I mean, like I said, it's 64 teams vying for $2 million, and I mean, you lose, you're done. You paid for it, and you're not going to win a thing.
And then last year, you know, those guys were in the bubble for a while.
Right. They showcased the bubble. That's what I think, and I could be wrong here, but I read some things about how the NBA even modeled their bubble over the TBT because they looked at it, and they were like, oh, wow, this is one regional site, and let's get it done. And that's how they finished the NBA season. They modeled it off the TBT.
Yeah.
So they kind of set the precedent on how to handle a pandemic while still trying to complete a season. I've got to commend the TBT. Like I said, this is a serious business. Like,
yeah, and then, you know, it was very fortunate, especially for me. I'm living here in Murray, Kentucky. You know, Peoria is five and a half hours away.
Right.
You know, went there and then just drive another 5.5 hours to Dayton, come back, you know, practice, and then hop back in the car and drive to Dayton.
Unreal, man. It's going to be awesome. I know Shaq Buchanan was supposed to play last year. You and I, Neil, had reported on it. And then three guys for Eberline Drive is what who's going to play. He was going to play with Dusty Hannes, I believe, on Eberline Drive. They were both teammates for the Memphis Hustle, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah.
And it didn't pan out because they got COVID right before the tournament was supposed to start, like 2 days, I think.
Yeah, no, this, you know, it's really crazy about that. You know, like, and they told us, like, you know, I think they're still going to do some testing.
Sure.
Do some testing. Like, if somebody tests positive, you know, everybody's out. It doesn't matter if you're not with the person in the room or not, you know. Like, the minute somebody tests positive, it doesn't matter if it's
at least you know the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That you're connected and that's the rule. So,
right. One guy a little more than a year ago that you might have had on the team was Cameron Payne. But turns out he's unavailable right now.
Yeah, he's unavailable now.
He didn't even get to come to his induction for his Hall of Fame.
He didn't even get to come to that. But again, for a pretty good reason.
Yeah.
Well, not a great reason.
A great reason. You know, you don't get a chance to get NBA championship rings. Well, I guess you could maybe get one on eBay from somewhere. But generally, to earn one, those chances only come for a few players a year. And right now, he's in the running for one.
Yeah, he's in the running. You know, just if you look at his first two games, you know, on Chris Paul, health and safety protocol. You know, first game, you know, everybody's saying, "Oh, Cam, he's probably gonna have like 10 points, a couple assists, and that'll be it." You know, because Booker's gonna do it all. First game, he had 11 points, 9 assists. Then game two,
a couple steals, a block, and one turnover.
Yeah, and one turnover. And then game two, you know. He explodes. He has 16 points in the first half, leading both teams in scoring. And everybody's like, who's this Cameron Payne kid? Because, you know, those small stories people talk about, you say, like, who is this person? Like, he was a lottery pick.
Yeah.
He was. Yeah, you know, him.
I bet the Bulls know who they're like, oh, crap. We screwed him up.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, but, you know, but Cam, like, he's what you call, you know, a guy getting another chance.
Exactly. And made the most of it.
And made the most of it. Like, you know, like, he figured out what he had to do to stay and survive in the league. Because, you know, at any given moment, like, if you're screwing up, they'll kick you out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have hundreds of other people waiting to get in. And you take a look at, and I'm not going to take anything away from Cam at all. You look at the numbers, you hear some of the stories, you see what happened with the Chicago Bulls. And he even had a couple, two or three great games later in his career with the Bulls, and it still wasn't enough. And, you know, I know that things didn't go particularly well for him early. He's admitted it. You hear some of his interviews, he talks about how serious he didn't take it. How kind of frustrated he was with himself and his work ethic, or the lack thereof, and then injuries beset. Anytime he was about to get a work ethic or was about to get in some sort of rhythm with a guy like Russell Westbrook, it didn't matter because he'd have a metatarsal hurt or he'd have a finger hurt or this or that. And that kind of stuff, when you're a lottery pick especially, the NBA takes its injuries seriously. Yeah. They're not just going to throw you right back out there. Take a look at last night. I hate to say it. He did so well in Game 1 and Game 2 to the point where they're 2-0, you know, against the Los Angeles Clippers. Then Game 3, he rolls his ankle and comes up hobbled from it. And, I mean, in a do-or-die situation, he probably wraps that, gets some ice on it, and gets back out there for a couple of possessions in the third and fourth quarter when, you know, Chris Paul and Booker both definitely probably needed a breather. But they didn't roll him back out there. And as a matter of fact, just ruled him out for the rest of the game, knowing they've got a 7-game series to get through. And that's where the NBA is different. People have to realize, like, unless it's a do-or-die situation, man, they're gonna shelve you. And you have to get your rhythm back in another game.
Yeah, like you said, you know, like, they're up 2-0. They're up 2-0 in the series. You know, like, well, right. I try to rush them back. You know, I understand if it was, like, if they were down, like, 0-2. And they, like, well, he has to play. We're in a do-or-die situation. Like,
yeah,
we lose.
Can't go down 0-3.
Yeah, can't go down 0-3. So, you know, the Suns did the right thing. You know, set him, started doing treatment. So, you know, if he's good to go tomorrow night, great. If not, you know, they still have a game 5. Yeah.
You go back to, and Neil, you can attest to some of this too, where we talked a lot about, you know, him getting into the G League and where it started for him in the bubble last year, you know, where the Suns went 8-0. He had the best plus-minus of all players in the bubble. Cam really transformed their second unit to the point where it earned him a contract, and it's earned him another one. I'd have to think the Phoenix Suns re-sign him. They've got the mid-level exception. They have the money to do it. And this injury, he walked off on his own power. You hope that it's – I haven't seen an update as of, you know, 11 o'clock today. But, I mean, you have to think that if he's healthy enough to continue this series and potentially in the finals – he's earned himself a place with the Phoenix Suns for the foreseeable future.
And like he's earned himself a spot with the Suns, or, you know, if somebody else, you know, if they offer him the right amount, if he wants it. No, he's earned his right to still be in the league.
He sure has.
Well, you take a look at, I mean, like I said, Neil, last summer, I mean, he was in China. Yeah. For a week, and it was like, well, I can't do this. I got to go back to the G League.
And he didn't pick him up from the airport. Well, I saw that story. He's like, what?
Well, here's the best part about it, and this is where it becomes a small world. Jeff Martin Jr. was working with the Texas Legends when Cam got there. So that's how, and then he was so good for the Texas Legends in the G League.
Right.
And then they ended up signing a couple of other veterans. I believe it was Alec Burks, maybe. Is that right? Is Alec who they signed? I can't remember who it was that they ended up signing instead. And that left him the open opportunity to sign with the Phoenix Suns because he was averaging 24-8. For the G League?
Oh, yeah.
For the Legends? He was balling for the Dallas Mavericks. He was this close to playing with Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
And instead is now, you know, 2 games away from the NBA Finals with the Phoenix Suns. It's unreal. I mean, real, if you think
and
about
especially,
it.
And especially, you know, coming from an overlooked school.
Yeah.
Well, we've overlooked. Come full circle. But it's so true. I mean, Cam played at what, Lausanne?
Yeah, Lausanne and Memphis.
In Memphis. You go back, and I'm. This is maybe a slight reach, but I've seen a couple of guys in Memphis. Drew Hill with the Daily Memphian that does a really good job reporting on the Grizzlies tweeted out a picture of Cam, and I had reported on it some last summer as well. I kind of wish I could be in Memphis to see some of those Pro-Am games, but during COVID, they were able to test, stay healthy, stay distanced, and whatever, and play Pro-Ams, and the leader of that Pro-Am Was Cameron Payne and John Morant.
Yeah, you know, Timbers.
Stark was there. Believe couple racers were there.
Yeah,
and
Court was down there playing.
Yeah, Chico was playing a little bit. I think Daquan, I think, was even down there a couple times, maybe at least working out. But then he was playing with guys like Musa Cisse, Kennedy Chandler. I mean, they were running a real legit pro-am. And
yeah,
like,
because Memphis, you know, it's a hotbed for basketball guys.
Oh, it is.
Like, you know, because everybody talks about, you know, guys out of Atlanta, guys out of New York, Chicago, L.A. Memphis has some. They got some guys that can ball.
And the guys even like in their mid-30s that are like still coming back and playing. If I'm not mistaken, doesn't Lester Hudson sometimes roll down there and play too?
Yeah, he's from Memphis.
Yeah, that's – I mean, whoo. Well, he tore up the OVC, didn't he?
No.
Yeah.
Jesus. Oh, yes.
And then he still plays in Asia, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's playing in China.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He led Martin to a regular season championship. They did not – get the OVC championship.
It's hard to do.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
tournament championship.
Yeah, a tournament championship is so hard to do.
You know, everybody talks about Lester Hudson, but Eric Weddle, I think that was his name, he was a really good guy for that team, too.
Yeah. That was a really good team. It wasn't just a one man team, although he was the man on the team.
Yeah.
T Money, what's something else you can tell us about the Overlooked that maybe we've overlooked? I mean, for lack of a better term.
I think I've said it all. You know, I can't give everything out right now. You know, just trying to find a venue to have training camp. You know, it could either be at Murray State or it might be maybe on the campuses of Murray. You know, if you get approval.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we're going to open it up to the community if you want to come watch practice.
Oh,
you know,
like that. That's great.
Yeah,
oh,
wow. Yeah, open up to community. Excuse me, community. Let them come watch. You know, and also, you know, just talk to the guys. You know, because I know not having a hoopalooza this year,
mm-hmm.
It's going to feel like a hoopalooza.
Yeah, I like this.
I didn't even think about that. That's brilliant.
Yeah, you know, just a reunion. Like, you know, those guys, like just the old guys who are coming in and playing, and even like, you know, getting Rasheed Suleiman, Nate West come in. You know, just to watch to see, you know, what we're bringing up to Peoria for game one.
And we were talking about many, but I'm sure we missed so many great memories that I'm sure fans listening, like, oh, well, you guys didn't even mention this, didn't mention that. And there's so many because of the impact that Murray State basketball has on this community. So many memories that last us a lifetime.
Oh, yeah, I have a ton of memories because I know Coach Brown, he joked around with me one year. He said, "Team Money." Oh no, Coach McMahon. He said, "Team Money, you might be the longest manager at any school ever in NCAA history."
That could be true. I don't know where that would come out. Wasn't it? I think it was Winder telling me. I don't know how long it took for Prom to learn your actual name.
Yeah.
Said he saw it on some sort of list. Who's this? Why is Terrence Miles on this list?
Like said, Terrence Harris.
Terrence Harris. That's what he called you. Terrence Harris.
Yeah, because I'll never
that's
forget.
That's what like, it was.
You're now Terrence Harris.
That's what it was.
Yeah, I'm changing my phone.
Yeah, tell
Morris,
us the story. Okay.
Oh, man. The story, it's like he never knew my last name.
The last name. He knew everything.
Like, he always knew my first name because even like when something's going on in practice, he used to say like, Terrence!
Yeah, all right.
Something with my name and then. We come to Fan Jam.
Okay.
And they are announcing the team. It's actually the first year. You know, everybody's first year, you know, Coach Kennedy, Coach
That's
Brown.
Right.
Said Terrence Harris. I'm like, Terrence Harris? I'm like, who's Terrence Harris? He's like, go. I'm like, my last name's not Harris. And I think for two more.
Just like your name's not John Calipari.
Yeah. And then for two more Fan Jams, like Mark Morris, love him to death. Like, he was a great guy. He was one of the greatest guys I know.
Yeah.
Like, he would go up to the PA guy. I mean,
Paul Radke.
Paul Radke.
Uh-huh.
Paul Radke. They would tell him to call me Terrence Harris.
So,
that pissed me off. I looked at Mark every time, like, dude, like everybody's gonna call me T Harris. Like, I'm not T Harris.
I love it, T Harris.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my god,
that's fabulous. Actually, well, I mean, you're not T Money anymore now. You've transformed on this podcast from T Money to T Harris.
Hey, stop it, Roger.
There was more that went on to those. We like the one what was it called? Racer Madness. I don't know. They changed the name.
It's had like
every
five
year.
Different names in 6 years.
But one of those was the sixth game of the 2011 World Series. And I'm over there. I have a thing ran up to my ear so I can listen to it. I was going to watch the rest of it. And if you'll recall, the Cardinals sucked to start.
That's
ended
right.
Ended up beating the Rangers. But I'm listening, and Prohm's out there Thanks for coming. Don't worry, Neil. He can see he's listening to the game over there. I'll have you out here in just a few minutes, so just hang on. I was like, you jerk. Calling me out for listening to the Cardinal game.
So. I was actually curious. We've mentioned Coach Prohm's name, and I know it's unfortunate, you know, for him to have lost his job at Iowa State. But is he gonna be? I know he's not necessarily involved per se with the planning, but I mean, do you think he'll stop by and visit with the guys?
Oh yeah,
at some point?
He'll stop by. Like I've talked to him. Yeah, I said, hey, if you want to be a consultant for us, hey, come
help. Oh, yeah.
Come help out.
That's smart, actually. Yeah. Why not have a consultant who, you know, won about 100 games here at Murray State?
100
you know,
games
with,
here
with
and
these guys.
And then I think, 100 at Iowa State as well?
Sure did. Absolutely. Yeah. I was curious, are there any other staff members? I mean, you've got Jeff Martin listed. You've got Brian Scherer, Juice. You've got you. Any other staff members that you guys are going to have involved right now, or is that still in development?
I think it's just only going to be us three. I know because Jeff Martin, he's going to try to do some things from where he's at because, you know, he's at Iona. He's, you know, Patino, he's like his right-hand man.
Yeah, they're a little busy right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had a heck of a recruiting class. You make the NCAA tournament, you win your league, and that's another wild story.
But I know Rick's real laid back. He's cool with whatever.
Neil. I love it. See, I told you, we don't hold anything back here, T-Mike.
Hey, I love it. Hey,
we let it roll. Hey, look, Rick, if you're listening to the podcast, Neil didn't mean that. Actually, yes, he did.
If you're listening to the podcast, you've really descended into hell as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
why would you be listening to our podcast
Why would you be doing it? T-Money, we appreciate the time. What are you looking forward to most over the next few weeks?
I know right now, you know, just getting done with summer basketball with Murray High and Murray Middle School. I'm just trying to unwind for probably a week or two just to get my mind. Of course, I'm going to watch the NBA right now, but just the planning of stuff, just unwind for a little bit. And then probably after the holiday, it's full go.
All right. Going to get a scoop from you. Next football coach at Murray High is going to be? He's got nothing.
Maybe he does. He know or does he not know?
I have no.
I don't know anything.
I know nothing.
My sport. Hey, right now, the head coach from Murray High School for basketball is Dior Curtis. That's the only thing I know. He is Dior Curtis.
That's a good out.
Let's get one more slight scoop then. Not necessarily even scoop. What have you seen out of Grant Whitaker so far, and the rest of the guys?
You know, like because we haven't had a full team this summer, like you know, because of different things, like. You know,
Grant track and field and all sorts of stuff going on.
Yeah, and then also injuries as well. We have guys that's hurt as well. But you know, Grant Whitaker, he's had a great summer for us. You know, he's a special kid. Special kid. You know, I know losing guys from last year's region runner up team, but I think he's ready to take that next step.
Well, the first region tournament will look really similar, and you had a lot of guys come back on SB 128, but you still got a guy in Grant Whitaker and a lot of pieces around him. So, I mean, I know it's early. I know it's June, what is today, the 25th, 26th? Yeah, 25th. Time is relative these days. Mm-hmm. You've still got a great squad and a lot of
pieces. Yeah, if you have a great squad, you know, guys who were young that played last year, you know, they made big jumps over the summer. You know, we expect a lot out of them. When we get to fall, fall camp, get ready for scrimmages coming up.
Yeah. It's hard to, when people ask me what I think about what high school basketball will look like next year, I'm like, well, just take a look at the first region tournament and run it back because, you know, you just had a lot of pieces come back. Obviously, Zion Harmon, you know, onward with his college career. Eli Brown, onward with his college career only. Zion, of course, at Western, but a lot of key guys. Either kept their year locked in to sophomore, junior season to rerun it back, or the same with a few seniors, notably
with those guys coming back, you know, like it's gonna be a tough region this year.
Again.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Like region one is, you know, everybody's always saying, like, oh, y'all in West Kentucky, like y'all not very good. Like look what McCracken has done the last few years.
Oh, yeah.
Them going to state, like they won games at state. You know, they took Highlands – you know, down to the wire.
Yep, absolutely. And Highlands went on to win the title.
Yeah, they won state, you know. And everybody says, oh, y'all from West Kentucky. Like, no, West Kentucky, we have some great teams. Yeah,
we're the overlooked.
Yeah, we're the overlooked. Hey, you're right. Region 1 is the overlooked.
What do you know? It's everybody's overlooked around here.
Yeah, but we're excited about next year, you know. Great team coming back, you know. Schedule's almost done. We're really excited about our team for next year.
I'm looking forward to it, man. T-Money, Neil. It's been a good show, man. Really appreciate the time. It's been real. It's been fun. And it's been real fun. Thanks, man. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.